And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is July 19th, 2026, and we welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here with us today. And we're going to start off with a song. This one is Onward Christian Soldiers. But before we do that, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask, Father, that you just lead us, guide us, and direct us as we come before your throne today. This first day of the week, we come out of obedience, not forsaking the assembly, Lord. And we just ask, Father, that as we turn our hearts and our minds to you, we pray, Father, that you forgive us of our sins, known and unknown. We ask, Father, that you grant us more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding, more power, and more authority, Lord. We come asking, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over ourselves and over this nation. We pray, Father, for a continued awakening to take place, Father. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you for this opportunity to be here. We pray that you be with these messages wherever they may go. We pray that they may be a blessing to the saints and a blow to the snakes. Lord, we're so grateful for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We thank you for your loving kindness, O Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and have a song. This one is Onward Christian Soldiers.
Onward Christian Soldiers, marching into war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ our Royal Master,
Amen.
Well, again, thank you, Remnant, for being here today with us. I do appreciate it. Couple of announcements before we get to the message. One of the things that we've been working quite a bit on lately is our YouTube channel and Rumble channel. And we don't have it set up quite yet, but hopefully we will be broadcasting live on our YouTube channel. It is there's just kind of a preview of what it's going to look like. This last week, it was we had some issues with it, and we've also had some issues with when I posted some new stuff up on there. And somebody else came back and said, well, that's my material. I posted that, and it belongs to me. And so I've been dealing with YouTube on some copyright issues that has been an interesting battle. A lot of this stuff is stuff that I put up on the archives page and some videos that I've recently redid and played. And we've been working on this YouTube channel for quite some time and hoping to get it up on and running, but was hoping to get quite a few more videos up there. Then ran into the copyright infringement deals, which kind of threw me for a loop. But anyway, we're dealing with it, and hopefully we'll have that some of that stuff figured out this week. And hopefully by the next week or two, we will be broadcasting, and you'll be able to receive church on just on YouTube. I know I've talked to a lot of people out there that have said that they're not really tech savvy, but they can get around on YouTube okay. And I got a letter from Sister Jamie out there in Oklahoma, and she said she brought it up too. And you know, so it's I can tell that there's a need for it, something that we have been working on, but a limited amount of time and a lot of stuff to do. So it's been busy around here, and things are going well. Do appreciate it if you would keep us in your prayers. Working on a newsletter and trying to get that printed, and there's just a lot of stuff to do. Do continue to encourage you to join us for Wednesday night prayer meeting. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, by going to scripturesforamerica.org or sfawbn.com. We've got a growing audience there, and our Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We've had it as a 2-hour program for quite some time now, and it's growing, and we're hearing from new people almost weekly that are listening to that program. So praise the Lord for that. We are thankful for that. Do appreciate it. You know, if you share that with others, there's that's how that program is getting around, is people are sharing it with one another. And thank you for those of you that that do that. We're gonna get going with a message. Sat down and started writing. The message that we just had was the law part one, and I recognized that that video quality wasn't the best. Tried to get the audio the best that I could. Using the tools that are made available to me, but I've had several people that did wanted to hear Pastor Peter's messages on the law, and I do have the part one and part two on video, and been working on those for a couple weeks, and I got it just about as good as I could get it, and wanted to play that for you. Had several people that have heard those in the past, and we dug them out of the archives and were able to play them for you today. So hope you enjoyed that. We'll be playing it the hour after as well. But I sat down, and just with everything that's going on, me and Brother Zach were talking, and we've had, you know, just so many people that are asking questions. You know, if these Jews aren't God's chosen people, that who is? And, you know, I know as well as you do that that's an ongoing discussion, and there's a lot that goes into describing that. But I just wanted to sit down and make some notes, and wanted to share that with you this morning. And I just entitled this, Do You Really Believe? And I want to start off by reading in Jeremiah 31, starting with verse 31. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah after those days, declares the Lord. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is what we are longing for and working towards. In the book of Hosea, the prophet refers to these same people whom God had divorced and called not my people as still being sons of the living God. This is exactly what happened to Israel. They lost their national identity and became known as Gentiles. Yet God still declares, you are my sons. Only the white nations of Christendom fit this description. The people we know as Jews have never lost their identity, they claim. We are God's chosen. But Scripture says only those who believe in his Son, Jesus, are truly his people. Everyone else has the spirit of Antichrist. 1 John 4, verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is already in the world. There is only one way for an Israelite or non-Israelite to become a son of God. That's through the new birth described in John 1:12 and John 3:3. Being white or having Israelite ancestry does not automatically qualify you. This is why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again from above. In the last days, the place where God's people would gather would not be known as God's people called by his name, because that title had been stolen by others. They would be known as Gentiles. But when they accepted Christ as Savior and King, they would rightly be called Christians, Son of the Living God. Israel is destined to accept Christ not only personally, but nationally. That is why the white nations are called Christendom. It is significant that only the white nations of the world openly embrace Christianity. Reaching other people required enormous effort, great expense, and often put missionaries in danger. Christendom has produced about 98% of all Christian literature, funded the vast majority of missionary work, and led most international disaster relief efforts. These are identifying fingerprints of true Israel. You will rarely find these same qualities among people known as Jews. God promised that when Israel returns to their new land, they will never be removed from it. I will plant them on their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of the land which I gave them, says the Lord. That's found in Amos 9, verse 15. Yet look at the reality. Jews leave Russia for Palestine, but records show even more leave for America and for its benefits. And I went back and I looked at the Jews that left Palestine from 1985, and it's increased from 1985. And now it's even hard to find the number. But last year, the number was 69,000. That they said left Palestine and came to America. That is a lot of people. I looked up because I was just curious of what the average size township in the United States was, and found out that the average city in the United States is 6,200 people. And that goes from all the cities, boroughs, townships, towns, combined and divided it up, and the average is 6,200 people. That's 10 times the average city in America. I thought that was interesting. More Jews left Israel for America than stayed in Israel in a lot of these years. Those who immigrated to America have often become thorns in our side and pricks in our eyes, exactly what the prophets warned would happen if we let them in. We are seeing the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 28, 43 through 44. The stranger who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. They shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to them. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Any observant person can see how this has played out. When Jesus began his public ministry at the age of 30, He knew he came from the David line and that his mission was to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 10:6 and 15:24. Many pastors today claim these lost sheep were unsaved Jews, but that is incorrect. The Greek word for lost, apolium, refers to those sent into exile as punishment for disobedience. This never happened to the Jews. In John 10, Jesus talks about those lost Israelite sheep and their need for a shepherd, using the familiar picture of a shepherd and his flock. He explains that his sheep follow him because they know his voice and will not follow a stranger. Then turning to the Jewish leaders, he says plainly in verse 26, "But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep." How much clearer could it be? He continues, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all." John 10:27-29. Nowhere does Scripture say the Jews were lost in this same way. In John 8:44, Jesus tells them, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." In Matthew 23:15, he adds that their religious leaders travel land and sea to make covenants, only to make them twice as much sons of hell as themselves. To fully understand the shepherd chapter, study Ezekiel 34. God says, "My sheep wander through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or sought for them." Then he promised, "I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. He will bring them out of the countries where they were scattered and feed them in Israel by the rivers." Note the plural, rivers. This does not fit ancient Palestine, which has mainly the Jordan River. In the new Israel, with many rivers, God will give his people peace, prosperity, and safety. When Israel, God's people, called by his name, Christians, finally wakes up to who we are and our true heritage, we will turn from our wicked ways. Then God will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. This is the only formula that will work for our survival. Jesus repeatedly referred to himself as the Good Shepherd. "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John 10:11. The hireling, a hired hand, whether good or bad, sees the wolf coming and runs away. The wolf catches and scatters the sheep. A hireling flees because he does not own the sheep and does not care about them. "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." In Isaiah 51:1-2, we are told to remember our heritage. "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut, and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him when he was but one, and blessed him and increased him." God also said, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." Amos 3:2. When Israel learns to obey the promises of Ezekiel 34:25-28, we will be fulfilled, a covenant of peace, safety in the land, fruitful fields and trees, and freedom from oppression by those who enslave them, including massive debt held by international bankers. No beast of the field will devour them, and none will make them afraid. Some seek here with connections with crime statistics. According to FBI data, black Americans, less than 20% of the population, have committed a large percentage of the violent crimes, the majority of them. Could these be the beasts of the field referenced in prophecy? Note the Hebrew word can refer to living creatures capable of walking upright, reasoning, wearing clothes, etc. Thank God for the final promise. "You, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God," declares the Lord. The Hebrew word for men here implies those who show blood in the face, capable of blushing, a trait of the white race. Jewish rabbis in the Talmud claim this means only Jews are true men, and the rest of us are goyim, a contemporary term for non-Jews meaning animals. This helps us understand Jesus' word in John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. There is no record of Jews doing anything similar. They are often described as self-centered, rarely doing anything for others without personal gain, a major difference from a true Christian. When Zacharias held the infant Jesus, he prophesied, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He has visited and redeemed his people, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." Luke 1:68-71. Does this sound like a people who openly declare they will destroy white Christian civilizations? Have you ever wondered why Jesus told the disciple in Matthew 10:5-6, "Do not go among the Gentiles, heathen nations, or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He later said that they would not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Matthew 10:23. Israel had hardly expanded greatly into northern and western Europe and British Isles within a century of Christ's resurrection. It was so large that it would take until his return to fully cover it. This reveals an ancient plan for the expansion of God's kingdom. His command remains, "Occupy until I come." It is a glorious program of evangelizing the world until he returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This requires going beyond before, born again to becoming overcomers. Revelation 3:21. Despite Christ's clear instructions to go first to the lost sheep of Israel, most missionary efforts have focused on dark heathen nations. These efforts often produce temporary results. Missionaries built churches and trained pastors only to return later and find their work mixed with occult practices or taken over by witch doctors. This pattern suggests that these people do not have the same spiritual capacity to fully receive and maintain the Christian gospel through individuals can still be saved. These people living without the law, which was given only to Israel, are not held to the same standard. Paul explains in Romans 2:14-7:7 that the law reveals sin to those who have it. The Jewish leaders knew Israel had been divorced and lost its identity. When Jesus said they would seek him and not find him, they wondered if he would go to the dispersed Israelites among the Gentiles. Later, the chief priests referred that if everyone believed in him, and the Romans would take away their place and nation. Caiaphas unwittingly prophesied that Jesus would die not only for that nation, but to gather the scattered children of God. From that day on, they plotted to kill him. Jesus' parables, the hidden treasure, the prodigal son, the two sons, the vineyard, and laborers, all pointed to lost Israel. In the vineyard parable, Matthew 21, after the son is killed, the owner destroys the wicked tenants and gives the vineyard to to other husbandmen. Jesus applied this to the Jewish rejection of him. "Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will not be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." Matthew 21:43. Many believe this nation is the United States, which began as a Christian nation, but is now under discipline for turning away. The first recorded instance of lost Israelites seeking Jesus is in John 12:20-22. And I wrote that scripture down. I'm not sure if that was an accurate statement or not. I believe it is, but I was talking with a brother last night when I was working on this, and he thought there was another one. So don't hold me to that. I might have got a couple of these scriptures mixed up. Many are confused by Acts 2 because it uses Jews, Judeans, and Israel for the same gathering. These Jews were Jews by religion, like Paul before conversion, not necessarily by blood. They came from many nations, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, etc. Peter addressed them as men of Judea and men of Israel. He called them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter later described them as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Once not a people divorced and known as Gentiles, but now the people of God. 1 Peter 2:9-10. It is unfortunate that many Bible scholars confuse Gentiles, Hebrew, Goy, Greek, ethos, meaning tribes or nations, with heathen. In most cases, it simply means non-Jewish people or even Israelites in some contexts. Jacob's prophecy that his seed would become a multitude of nations proves this. Paul spoke of particular blindness on Israel until the fulfillment of the Gentiles comes in, Romans 11:25. Israel lost its identity, something that never happened to the Jews. When the Lord sent Ananias to Saul, he said Saul would bear his name before the Gentiles, kings and the children of Israel. David was never called a Jew in Scripture. He lived centuries before the term Jew appeared, around 742 B.C., 2 Kings 16:6. Paul was a Benjamite, Israelite by blood, though a Jew by religion. Mistranslations sometimes obscure this. The oracle of God were committed to Israel, not to the later called Jews. The epistles were written to Israelites who understood reference to Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, the law, and the fathers, things heathen Gentiles would not grasp. The outstanding acceptance of Christians by white nations of Christendom is powerful evidence they are true Israel. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. John 10:3, also in 27. Ask yourself, do the Jews fulfill the prophecy of Israel? Have they glorified Christ? No. Many curse his name. Do they declare him head of Israel? No. Have they carried the gospel to the world? No. Are they listed among the heroes of faith? In Hebrews 11, not one. Are they a righteous people? Scripture calls them the Antichrist. Those that call themselves Jews are of the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, also in Revelation 3:9. Are they a great nation? No, they really aren't. Without the support of America, I believe that they would cease to exist. Do they have a new name? No, they're still called Jews. These are just a few of the more 200 scriptural fingerprints identifying true Israel in the last days. Jews do not match any of them. The covenants, laws, psalms, prophecies, parables, and history of the Bible all prove to one honest mind and that the people known as Jews today are not the biblical Israelites. When Jesus returns soon, as the signs indicate, he will establish his kingdom on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We will serve him here and a reward on earth. He will redeem Israel people and will become a blessing to all nations. They will be that day of true peace when swords are beaten into plowshares and war is no more. Are you ready for his return? Do you really believe the word of God? Are you ready to show your love for him through obedience? After receiving his forgiveness, have you pledged yourself to serve him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Your Israelite heritage means nothing unless you are first born from above, John 3:3. Personal new birth must come first, followed by national repentance, acceptance of him, and baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And if anybody out there would like any of our tracts on baptism, how to become a Christian, simply ask for it, and we will send it to you free of charge. I pray that I got my thoughts across to you the way that I wanted to. And looking at the time, I did go a little bit over time. I hope this made sense to you, I guess. I got there's some good information. Well, there's a lot of good information, but we have a CD called The Most Confusing Word in Scripture, Jew. And it's a message by Pastor Peters. And I've used it, went back and listened to it several times over the year. Very valuable information. If you would like that, write to us. And I can probably even get it posted where I can send you a link to it. If you got internet access, I could text it to you, or I could email it to you. Trying to get a lot of these resources that are valuable. And more I found myself going back to, you know, the writings of Earl Jones and Jack Moore and Pastor Peters. And I'm trying to categorize those where people can access them on the internet easily. And not have to search through a bunch of stuff. One of the things that I've really been working on a lot is, you know, the Abraham covenant and who we are. And so people know how to argue that and know how to explain it to others. Because right now, if you're on any kind of social media, you are seeing that we are living in a time like none other, that the Jews are being exposed for the wickedness and the evil deeds that they're doing. And praise God, it's happening, and I'm excited for it. There's, there's a lot of controversial stuff that's coming out of the churches, and the churches are the ones that are, coming to defend the Jews. And we've got a lot of just, you know, average day-to-day people that are waking up and saying, hey, there's something wrong with these people. And I believe that that's the working of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that that Holy Spirit just continues to work in that way. I'm excited about it. I hope that you're excited about it. And I'm thankful for all of you that continue to make our efforts possible here. I do really do appreciate it and appreciate your prayers as well. As you know, those that join us, I played one of the episodes of Scriptures from America. I believe it was episode 9 and a couple weeks ago, and had a lot of people that had never seen it before, and they asked me if there's any way that I could play all of those. They said that talked to one man down in Texas, and he said all of those need to be played because we need to see them. And I took that to heart, and I agreed. And we are going to have one of those episodes. And, you know, in these episodes, these were a lot of fun. It was a fun project to put together with Pastor Peters. We worked hard and diligent on it. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to say, there's those that have left here and left the church, and they've decided that they're going to go, you know, start their own ministry, or they're going to do this. And that's fine. We need people out there preaching the word, going and do that. It's when they make their efforts just to attack this church, and they do their slander, and they do their subtle slander, and they do everything they can to try to attack this church, even in a subtle way. I was dealing with some attacks this week, and I just had to laugh at it. And, you know, I was trying to think, it's like, you know, I thought that, okay, maybe this person has just become a personal enemy, you know, and was thinking about that and praying about it. And, sometimes it's a personal enemy. And sometimes as I was looking in and going through some of these scriptures, some of the times it's like, you know, they just may be of their father, the devil, just doing the work and the bidding of Satan. And, you know, I think it's very important that we do use that prayer filter, and because they're so off that we just don't know. And in one of these episodes, I'm not sure if it's in this one or not, that I just figured we'd start off with episode 1. You know, there was a man, and he didn't ride a horse; he rode a jackass. And well, that's pretty much what he was. He left here, and you know, had to go start his ministry, but his ministry was founded on attacking this ministry. And, like Pastor Peters had that song written, "Thank God You Hellhounds Are Gone for a Reason." And, thank God that we're still standing. We still have a remnant. And, just want you to know that I'm very thankful for each and every one of you that pray for us, that join us with prayer meeting, that pray for the needs of the saints that are out there. And, we need more of that. And I'm very thankful. We're going to have this episode number 1. I'm sorry, I talked too much. We're going to have episode 1, and then we're going to come back for communion. So stay tuned. We'll have that justice.
It is time for Scriptures from America. From America, Colorado and Wyoming, Rocky Mountains of the Wild West, comes the Word of God from the cowboy salt of the earth, logic and wisdom, a circuit riding preacher, Peter Peters. Nestled in the Laramie Valley of wild, windy Wyoming, near Laramie, Wyoming, sits a working cattle and horse ranch known as the Radio Ranch. At the Radio Ranch, Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters broadcasts live nightly worldwide on shortwave radio, satellite, and internet on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching Europe, Australia, Russia, South Africa, and more. Jesus Christ came to the common man, and the Radio Ranch common cowboys still ride and reach out with the Christian message. Pastor Peters and his Radio Ranch Wranglers ride for the brand and the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Pastor Peters grew up in the West in the cowboy tradition and is still cowboy. An ex-rodeo and trick rider, Pastor Peters is now a circuit riding preacher and teacher in both Wyoming and Colorado. He has preached at the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, for the past 30 years. Like the holy prophets of old, he does not spare the truth of God's Word as he lovingly tells it with a take-it-or-leave-it common sense cowboy logic. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peters.
Well, here goes. Jesus said to go in all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. And we're going in all the world, this circuit riding preacher and his Radio Ranch Wranglers who stand behind the camera right now, here at the Radio Ranch in Wyoming, into a part of the world we've never been before as far as television goes, and that's in the area of Europe. This is our first in an episode, I guess you'd call it the first episode, of our Scriptures from America broadcast. Normally we have Scriptures for America worldwide broadcasting on satellite, internet, radio, shortwave. But this time it's Scriptures from America because this broadcast is coming from America to a whole host of people out there in the world that I've never been to. But I thank God that he's given this circuit riding preacher a chance to go in all the world. So I want to say howdy to those people in the world that are receiving this broadcast over there in Russia, Ukraine, whole host of countries over there. And I get to speak to you without having to go and speak in tongues because it's being translated into the language that you listen to. So we praise God for that. Now, this is not the only place that this broadcast is going to go. It'll be aired on the North American continent as well. Before we go any further, though, I'd say we best go to the Lord, wouldn't you? Our Heavenly Father, we praise you. We praise you because we've read the book and we know how this baby ends. We will see all your enemies made a footstool at your feet. And we praise you, Lord Jesus, for that. You are our King. You are the King of Kings. And as you have said, we salute and click our heels and say, okay, we'll go make a way. And so thank you for making a way into the homes and lives of those that I'll probably never see eyeball to eyeball with. But, Lord, with your Holy Spirit a-working, make that Word of God that I'll be teaching them today work right down into their hearts, souls, and minds, and let them come alive in the name of Jesus Christ to serve the ever-living King who arose from the grave, victorious over all his enemies. Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't know exactly where to start. I'm going to start by walking in here, but I want to tell you something. I don't think you're going to like what you see. I didn't like what I saw when I walked in here yesterday. Let me tell you where I'm at. We're at the Radio Ranch here in Wyoming. Now, we preach. This circuit riding preacher does, and I say we because I got my Radio Ranch Wranglers always here to help me. In Wyoming and in Colorado on a regular basis, and we travel, of course, all across the North American continent. By the way, get used to the wind. This is a mild wind day when it comes to Wyoming, let me tell you. So the wind blows out here in Wyoming. You're listening to the circuit riding preacher, Peter Peters. And, yes, you hear on the intro also Dr. Peters. I have my degrees, but I want you to know I have my experience as well. I have my Bible training, and I've got over 30 years of circuit riding, let me tell you that. I've been preaching. I fit the qualifications because some of you, I'm addressing you people out there in the world. Jesus said, go in all the world, and we know that God's children, we're all God's children out there in that world, and they need to know who I am. So I'm a preacher, and I'm a teacher, and I got a prophetic disposition. Now, some of you aren't going to like some of the things I might say, but the prophets didn't worry about being liked. They worried about being true to the Word. They didn't worry about being politically correct. They were concerned about being biblically correct, and that's what you're going to get from this preacher. I do have Bible training. I do have the experience. I have the qualifications of an elder, just to give you an idea of who's talking to you. Now, when I say you're not going to like what you might see in there, I think I know what I'm going to see. When I walked in there, this is springtime right now at the Radio Ranch. And in the spring, new birth comes, and we have not only cattle but horses on this place, and we got a new baby foal in there. You might say, well, why are you starting off the way you are with the illustration you're going to have behind this door, behind this barn door? There's a reason, and you'll see why, so stay with me. We're going to go in there, and we're going to look at the Word of God, and we're going to make an application by what you see to your life in light of God's Word. Okay? Hatch, you want to come in? Come on. Well, this is what we got in this little barn. A little colt. He was born yesterday, or a little bit before yesterday, yesterday evening. And yesterday morning, he was laying about dead. I shouldn't say he, it's a she. And I'm pleasantly surprised to find her on her feet. I call her Gerula Girl. She's got the color, what you call Gerula. And the interesting thing about the color of a Gerula colt, you take a, I understand, a buckskin or a Gerula, they got kind of genetic genes that are a little bit older and a lot, and they're tougher. And this Gerula Girl is tough. Now, I came out here earlier this morning, and she was laying... Came out here yesterday morning, and she was laying here laboring, just barely breathing. We took her to the vet, loaded her mama up and her and the trailer right away, because I knew she was in trouble. I thought maybe it was pneumonia, because it was a cold night when she was born, and we weren't prepared for her to come so soon. And the vet sent her home, didn't even charge us a bill, said she's going to die. Now, I tell you what I did yesterday morning, my wife and I. You've heard in the Bible about the anointing oil. We took and anointed her. I'm going to anoint her a little bit more. A little anointing oil on her. She's doing good. I came out here earlier this morning. She was laying there half dead. But, you know, the Lord has taught me a lesson or two in regards to faith with her. Because the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you look at the scene, you won't have the faith. You can't base your faith on the scene. And what I saw was a colt that was looking like it was going to die. In fact, the vet told me she's going to die. And you say, well, what's the matter with her? If you look, she's got labored breathing. She's not as frisky and healthy as the average colt would be. Anyway, yesterday I anointed her with oil. And we prayed over her, I and my wife, after the vet said didn't look good. And let me tell you what happened to her. See, I wondered, where am I going to start here as far as it goes in regards to my first episode with the people in the world, introducing you to this circuit riding preacher, where I want to start. All disciplines have a beginning. Now, when I use the word discipline, you need to think of Christianity as a discipline. For example, mathematics is a discipline. I remember when the university taking a course in statistics. The statistics, according to the vet, was that this colt wasn't going to live, and I'll tell you why in a minute. And it's a good illustration because I want to apply it to your life. But when that mathematician was trying to teach me statistics and all, it was hard for me to get. I just wasn't really connecting real good. But there was a time when that statistician had to learn numbers, like my grandchildren. This is one, this is two, this is three, this is four. It's the basics. All disciplines have basics. And all disciplines have disciples, and they have to learn the basics if they're going to become disciples of that discipline. Now, my grandchildren that are learning the numbers, they don't know that those numbers can be added, they can be subtracted, they can be divided. There's such a thing coming down the road for them called algebra. They're just learning the numbers. They have to have a beginning. And so I thought to myself, how am I going to begin? Well, I began by introducing myself and telling you where we're at. And then I thought, well, we'll come in here and do the filming right here in this horse barn with this little colt. Now, there the colt is. See if you can get a picture of that colt laying there laboring. I'll just go on over there and anoint him a little. Or her. I keep calling him a him, but she's actually Gerula Girl. She doesn't know she's going to be world famous. See how she's laboring hard? And I've prayed over her more than once, and I pray over her again. Gerula Girl, I want you to live, and I want you to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ who gives us life. Lord Jesus, bring life into her. Keep her alive to your praise and glory. I just want her to be revived in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we'll just sit down right here if the mama will let me. I guess she'll let me. I want to sit. I hate to squat. There's an old saying out here that cowboys shouldn't squat with their spurs on. I got my spurs on. What's going on here? I'm going to go to the Word of God in 1 Peter. And it says in 1 Peter, therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Now, this is what the vet told me about this little critter. He said that, and it's true, a colt has about a four-hour window to get up and nurse its mama to get what is called colostrum. That first milk that comes out of that mama's got that colostrum, and the colt needs it. Now, he said if that colt doesn't get that colostrum, that they are in a, they're in a world of trouble, without going in all to the mechanics of this thing. And she was, according to him, so much trouble, he didn't even charge me. He said, take her home. And when I came out here earlier this morning, I thought, ooh, she certainly tested my faith here because she wasn't looking too good. But you saw her up. When I opened that door, there she was standing, and she's nursing her mama. But you got to get that milk, and you got to get that milk right away. I'm not going to squat with my spurs on, so we'll just sit right here beside her. You got to get that milk right away, and that period of time. And that's the way it is with a newborn from the Word of God. We're born again of the water and the Spirit, and then you got to long for the pure milk of the Word in order to grow. There's another scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 where Paul says, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Now, you'll find that with the Word, there is solid food or meat, and there's milk. And you got to have the milk first. And so, where do I begin? I want you to know that this preacher had a calling when he was a young boy. My first sermon was about 9 years of age. It won't take time to go into that. It was in Bible school, summer Bible school. But when I was in summer Bible school, the one summer about 11, I remember that they got me to read the Bible. And the book they had me read first was the book of John. And so as I was thinking where I start, I don't know where all I am going with this broadcast as far as in the world. I just know it goes into the world out there. We've got to start at the beginning. And in John 1:1, this is how it starts. And we'll just turn here. I want you to get used to a Bible. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. And I want you to know, this is your life without the Word of God. Now, little Grula girl here doesn't know life any different because this is all she's experienced so far. She's going to get better because she's prayed for. And she needed that milk right away and didn't get it like she should have. Now, Jesus said something about your life. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he said over in Matthew chapter 4, as he was fighting with Satan himself, in verse 4, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, you're only half living if you're not living with the Word of God in your life. And you just heard it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, my men are giving me signs for... The only thing is, I don't know if those signs is how many minutes have gone by or how many minutes I got left. Which one is it? Left. All right. Time's going by rather fast. I better start moving up a little faster in talk. You got to have the Word of God. Every discipline starts somewhere. You've got to start with the Word. Start reading the Word of God. Man should not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, this is the Bible. You've got to get the Bible in your life. Let me tell you a little bit about the Bible real fast. The Bible is not like an ordinary book. Ordinary books are written in chronological order. You start at the beginning, you go to the end. The Bible is not. The Bible is a book of books. That's one way it's different. And I want you to know how important of a book of books it is. Now, you might not believe this, but it tells us in the book, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were open, And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. Well, I don't believe that. You will someday. You will be judged by the things, according to what it says here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, by the things written in the books. The books, yes. The Bible, Biblica, is a book of books. There are 66 books here. Now, it's divided in two divisions, and I'm just giving you an introduction. This is basics. In the beginning was the Word, and that's where we're starting with the Word. It's divided in the Old Testament, and it's divided into the New Testament. And so the New Testament is divided into the first five books are history. First four are called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then there's the book of Acts. Luke, who wrote the book, the Gospel Luke, also wrote the book of Acts. Now, this is your assignment for next week. We're just getting started and getting introduced to one another. I want you to read one of the Gospels. Take your pick. You can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. If you read Luke, know that Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And then I want you to read two chapters in the book of Acts. Now, there will be a test at the end of your life, let me tell you. But there'll be a test in life as well. And it's very important that you read the first two chapters in the book of Acts as well. That's your assignment. Now, then you have the 14 Pauline epistles. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. And then the Pauline epistles are the letters. Epistle means letter. Paul, that's where you get the Pauline epistles. You have those. And then you have seven books written by James, Peter, John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude. And the last book in this New Testament is a book of prophecies, Revelation. Now, don't ask me why. It's the craziest thing in the world. I've seen it time after time. A Christian get this book in his hand, the first place he wants to go is the book of Revelation. That's the hardest place to go. You got to get the basics down. So you go and you read one of the Gospels in the first two chapters of the book of Acts. Now, when you do that, you're going to start, and I need to warn you. I need to warn you about something, and that is, I'm kind of a bit like a drug dealer. I don't know if you have drug dealers over there in Europe. You got them over here. And what do you mean you're like a drug dealer? See, now you start trusting me right away, and I don't want you to be so trusting, because I'm trying to get you to taste it, giving you a freebie. Once you start to slurp this a little bit, pretty soon you're slurping it until you're burping it, and you got to have more of it, because it's the Word of God. It's the living Word of God. It'll become addictive in your life. So I've already warned you ahead of time. And I want you to know why I'm making such a point for you to get the Word. You've got to start somewhere. I want you to start reading your Bible, and I want you to start checking out with what I say. Now, you don't know me. Well, you look like the kind of guy I could trust. Well, that's why I lied to you in the first 2 minutes of my broadcast. What? That's right. I told a lie. You see, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, we've got to unlearn just as much as we learn. And we've been taught a lot of things. We've been programmed. So many of you have watched so much TV over there. It's like our people have over here. They don't call it TV programming for nothing. That's why you got to get less TV in your life and more of the Word of God. And what I did right away was, well, before I do that, I want you to know that the reason I'm trying to get you into the Word, it says in Acts 17, verse 11, about those people in Thessalonica. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the Word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. In other words, just don't take what these people that come to you and hold themselves out as a teacher of the Word, just don't take at face value what they say. You got to check out what the Word says in comparison to what they say, because the Word says there are a lot of false prophets that go into the world, and they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, what I did when I greeted the world, I said, we're all God's children. What? We're not all God's children. I purposely lied to you just to give you an illustration. I'll tell you this, I will not try to purposely lie to you, but I did it just so you can understand why it's so important for you to get the Word in your life. We're not all God's children. In fact, what did Jesus say over there in the Gospel of John, chapter 8? Let's see if we can find it here. I think it's the Gospel of John, chapter 8. verse 44 said, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. Does that sound like we're all God's children? Somebody's of their father the devil. And when I said at the very beginning we're all God's children, I did it on purpose because I wanted you to see how easy you can be tripped up. I want you into the Word. And I want you to start drinking it, feeding on the milk. And old Grula girl, if she'll keep getting that milk down her with our prayers, she's going to make her. And you're going to make her too. But we're about out of time. Remember that Christianity was first called the way. Jesus said, straight is narrow is the way and broad is the way of destruction. There's Matthew chapter 7. And few there will be that find it. I want you to find that straight, narrow way. I want you to be one of the few, and it's the few that I'm trying to reach here with the Word. And so that's our beginning. Come next week. By the way, if you come next week, I think, here, I got a postcard for you from Wyoming. We'll show that on the screen. You know what's going on there? You come next week, and I'll tell you what that postcard's about, and how important it is in your life. And this is a Wyoming scene, and we'll relate it to the Word of God. Now, you take your assignment, you take it seriously, and you come back next week, because by God's will, we're going to be there. We're praising God. We're going to all the world preaching the gospel, and we're glad to come to your part of the world, the circuit riding preacher and his Radio Ranch Wranglers are. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless those of you that are His, bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you and lift His countenance upon you and grant you peace. And you know, wouldn't hurt for you to send a prayer or two for old Gruel girl here. Thank you.
This Scriptures from America broadcast came from Pastor Peter's Radio Ranch, located in the...
Well, due to the time, we're not going to play that full outro. I hope you enjoyed that. Scriptures from America, Episode 1, that we had for you. And don't have time to go into all the Scriptures that I wanted to for communion. I wanted to, again, read in Jeremiah verse 31, 31, and 34, but... let us go to our Heavenly Father for a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we gather as your remnant people, Lord, redeemed, purchased, set apart by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have made with us the new covenant. Oh, Lord, we ask that you cleanse us now, renew us, draw us near through this meal. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Luke 22:14 says, when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now or until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come in remembrance of the price that was paid, of the blood that was shed, of the body that was broken for me. Lord, I'm grateful. I give you thanks for that. I apply that blood to my life. Ask to be renewed. Ask for that covenant to be strengthened. I ask, Father, that you heal me of my infirmities. Strengthen my body. Help me to put on the mind of Christ. I pray, Father, for those that partake with us and for those that partake with us through DVD Church and through the Internet, Lord, we pray that we forget none of the benefits. We know that there is many. We do this in remembrance of you. We do this in obedience. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may partake.